Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we've been studying the word of God, metaphors for salvation, sanctification. Hallelujah. And I was having an interesting discussion with a friend of mine today. And he said that, see, without a life of holiness and sanctification, a man should just forget about heaven and things like that. See, most times when people do not understand the place of us walking in sanctification, you know, as a separate concept from the positional sanctification we have in Christ Jesus, then there's a problem. Now, I think I've said on this broadcast before, by the way, this is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, episode 74. I think I've said on this broadcast before that, and I often say this when I preach on salvation, that whether you are preaching salvation by works or you are preaching salvation by faith plus works, you are saying the same thing. It doesn't matter whether you had faith to it, whether you say, well, it's about what Jesus has done. The moment you had that which is meant to be done by any other person apart from Jesus, where salvation is concerned, you're already preaching a works gospel, which is a false gospel. Hallelujah. Do you know that the Galatian church was not preaching that faith was not necessary, that salvation was only by works? They were preaching that salvation was by faith, but faith is not enough. And that was the problem. Hallelujah. Now, today, let me quickly do justice to this question. Which is greater? The sanctification we have in Christ Jesus as a position or a work in sanctification? Which is actually greater? That which is already has in Christ and that which we are working out daily by virtue of knowledge and, you know, recognizing the gift of God within us. Which is greater? It's like asking the question, which is greater, salvation or spiritual growth? Glory to Jesus. You see, in the natural world, in the natural, in the flesh, physical growth, the concept of growth seems to be much more important than you know, being born itself. And I'll say to you why this is so. In the natural, if a man does not grow, it is possible he begins to die. Praise God. When a baby is born into the world and the baby is not making progress, it's not growing physically, it's not being fed, the baby is being starved, there's a likelihood that the baby will begin to die gradually till the baby dies. In the spiritual, however, it is not the same. Jesus makes very categorical statements. John 11:26. Jesus will say that the man that believes in him will never die. The man that believes will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. John 5:24. He who believes in me, shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death into life. Jesus makes profound statement. John 6. He who takes of this bread of life or drinks of this water, Bible says, shall never die. Glory to God. He says, I am the bread which came down from heaven, that one may partake of it and never die. Categorical statement. So that means in the spiritual, if a man is not growing spiritually, it can result in spiritual death. Hallelujah. Now, this is what a lot of church people find difficult to accept or believe. But this is the truth of the word of God. That the man is not growing in the faith does not in any way outlaw or eradicate his salvation. Why? Because his salvation is more potent than his growth. Glory be to God. Now, growth in the natural is a growth in stature. That is, you have to grow physically. You must increase in stature. In the Christian faith, your salvation is the completeness. Hallelujah. Growth in the natural is a journey from being small in stature, being, so to speak, incapacitated to do many things, to a point where you now become more mature, more able, so to speak, more complete. Hallelujah. You are more complete. A baby is born as a male child. And then at that point in time, though the baby is a male child, the baby does not have the ability at that point in time to father a child. Do you understand? So, but as he grows in the natural, he's able to start fathering children. He's able to start giving birth also. He's able to reproduce and replenish. But at the birth, at childhood is unable to do this, though he's a male child. So you see that in the natural, the concept of growth is different. That's why you can't use the concept of physical growth to explain spiritual maturity, because spiritual maturity is a different ballgame entirely. In spiritual maturity, we are not trying to become more potent. We are not trying to attain to a stature we don't have in Christ already. So this is it. In salvation, we received a completeness. We received God's fullness. We received all of God. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So in salvation, we received all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. So in salvation we receive the fullness, the completeness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Speaking about Jesus. Verse 10. He brings us into the picture immediately. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Spiritual maturity is not trying to attain unto a stature we have not received in Christ. In Christ Jesus we receive the fullness. That's why if a man believes in the gospel today and dies today, he gets into heaven as a mature man. Hallelujah. What Jesus produced by his resurrection is the perfect man, the mature man, the full man, the complete man, the man that houses the fullness of God, the man in whom the Holy Ghost is not giving in measures. Hallelujah. A man who is a carrier of the fullness of divinity. That is who you are. So in salvation, we have the fullness. Glory be to Jesus. So where does spiritual growth happen? In the mind. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. Bible says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now because spiritual maturity is a thing of the mind, it shows you it's a different thing entirely from physical maturity. Physical maturity is an increase in stature, in physical stature. Spiritual maturity is not an increase in spiritual stature. It's an increase in knowledge. Hallelujah. It's an increase in knowledge. The man knows, and the more he knows, the more he's able to express the fullness he already carries. The day he knows the things that belongs to him, and not the days he begins to, grow into that measure of stature. In Christ. No, he is already in that stature. He's already in that measure. He has found the fullness of God. He is the embodiment of all the blessedness of God in Christ Jesus. He is complete in Christ Jesus. So spiritual maturity is a growth in knowledge and understanding, in the which the man begins to recognize and discern who he is in Christ. He begins to see his completeness. That is spiritual maturity. The man begins to see his completeness, and he begins to act out his completeness in Christ. He's not trying to be complete in Christ where spiritual stature is concerned. Is to be complete in the sense of spiritual maturity. Is to grow. So when you see 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. The word complete there is the word perfect. That the man of God may be brought to maturity. Hallelujah. Now, when he says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, he's talking about completeness in the area of spiritual training. Because what he's talking about is spiritual training. Hallelujah. He's not talking about spiritual birth. He's talking about spiritual training. All scripture is given for this purpose. For doctrine. For teaching. Doctrine is teaching. For doctrine and teaching. For reproof. For correction. For instruction. So what the scriptures will serve to do is to renew your mind. Is to affect your mind. Is to bring your mind to an awareness of what belongs to you in Christ Jesus. And how you ought to conduct your life now that you are in Christ Jesus. So spiritual maturity is only about the mind. And the mind is transient. The mind is not a physical component of your body. The mind is abstract. Hallelujah. So when you get to heaven today, the state of your mind on the face of the earth will not determine how spiritually mature or how spiritual, it will not determine your spiritual stature in heaven. Hallelujah. You won't be a dwarf because you've not learned scriptures very well. What you will see yourself to be like is exactly how Christ is. Glory to God. Let me quickly show you that. 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. The completeness of Christ. That's what you see yourself to be when you stand before Jesus. 1 John chapter 3. I read from verse 1. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Have you seen? When we see Jesus, when we stand before him, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. So you won't be a spiritually dwarfed person. You won't be extra tall because you've jacked scriptures, you've studied God's word, you've prayed, you've edified yourself. Spiritual growth does not affect your stature spiritually. Hallelujah. It does not. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What exactly is the Bible saying? Where is spiritual growth? Where does spiritual growth take place? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And this would take us to, lead us to Ephesians chapter 4 for me to explain what Paul meant by coming to the fullness of the stature, fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. What does that really mean? But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 first. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Bible says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. So where does maturity happen? In understanding. Hallelujah. In understanding, that you may know. The more you know, the more you are mature. Knowledge is a vital thing that matures the Christian. So spiritual growth is an increase in knowledge that now drives you to begin to live and act out the new life you have received. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Glory to Jesus. I said I'm going to explain what it means to say to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. Bible says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, if you read this portion of scripture casually, you could just run off with the idea that there's a measure or a stature of Christ to be attained unto. That's not what Paul is saying in this place. Hallelujah. What he's saying in this place is how that the ministry gifts are given to equip us. And what are they going to equip us with? With knowledge. Now, the knowledge they're going to equip us with is what he refers to as the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge of the Son of God, verse 13, which is the perfect man, knowledge of the perfect man, which is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So if you compare this with Colossians 2, 9 to 10, in him dwells the fullness that is in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, verse 10, and you are complete in him which is the head of all principalities and powers. So we have the fullness of Christ, and ministry gifts via knowledge, via teaching, are meant to bring us to a place where we acknowledge this fullness. Hallelujah. So we're not trying to attain unto the unity of the faith. We're not the ones to bring about the unity of the faith. Paul already says we have the unity of the faith. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Have you seen? We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one spirit, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there is oneness of faith already. What is the role of the ministry gift? To bring us to a place of acknowledgement. We are to acknowledge that we have one faith. We are to acknowledge the unity of the faith. Hallelujah. We are to acknowledge the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, which we have come to partake of. We are to acknowledge the knowledge of the Son of God. And this is in line with all that Paul taught through his epistles. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us. So you see, it's not a journey to becoming, it's a journey to know. And as we know, we begin to act out the knowledge we have received. Hallelujah. Philemon 1:6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. The word acknowledging there is the word epignosis, which speaks of what? It speaks of a thorough recognition, a full discernment, a total discovery of that which is yours in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And you see, that word epignosis is the same word translated knowledge at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. It's an acknowledgement of that which we already possess. Glory to Jesus. Which is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So we're not trying to become more. We're trying to know that which we became by virtue of our faith in Christ Jesus. And this is why at verse 14 of Ephesians 4, Bible says, and that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So what makes a man qualified to be called a child? Huh? The word children here is the word babes. Hallelujah. What qualifies a man to be referred to as a babe in Christ? The man that is tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The man that is unstable in knowledge. Hallelujah. So spiritual maturity is about knowledge. Knowledge of who we are. Knowledge of that which we have already received in Christ Jesus. Knowledge of the fullness we have attained by virtue of our faith at salvation. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So which is more potent? Our walk in sanctification or our positional sanctification? I dare say our positional sanctification. Because it is from our positional sanctification we're able to produce a walk in sanctification. It's just like asking, which is more potent, which is more important, or which is greater? The Spirit or a walk in the Spirit? Obviously the Spirit. Because a walk in the Spirit is an offshoot of knowing you have the Spirit or of having the Spirit. If you do not have the Spirit, you can't walk in the Spirit. But you can have the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. That's why there are Christians who walk in the flesh. But what we have positionally supersedes that which we can walk in by experience or by knowledge. Hallelujah. So that which God has already settled and done in Christ Jesus is the ultimate. And listen, no matter how much we grow, we cannot exhaust the bundle. We can't exhaust the package. We can't exhaust the fullness and the completeness of what God put in us in Christ Jesus. We won't be able to fully explore all that we have in Christ till we die. Glory be to God. That's why when we get to heaven, it will still be a wonder. We'll look back and discover there are many things we did not explore. There are many things we did not walk in. That there was a fullness we were carrying about on the face of the earth that we were not exploring as much as we should have. Glory be to God. Because, see, what we have in Christ Jesus is over sufficient. It's too much. It's a largesse. Hallelujah. It's a largesse. It's an abundance. It overflows. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So, the sanctification we have in Christ Jesus positionally supersedes a walk in sanctification. So, at the very best, we can do our best to walk in sanctification, but we must never pride ourselves in a walk in sanctification above the fact that we have been sanctified by the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. The positional sanctification that came by the offering of the body of Christ is the ultimate. Glory be to God. I mean, that's the reason why we're going to stand before Jesus at the end of the day, blameless and perfect in His sight. Glory be to God. Because we have been sanctified, we have been washed, we have become saints of God by virtue of identification with what He did for you and I. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Never be a party to this kind of flimsy talk. People will say, without a walk in sanctification, you are going nowhere. What makes you a member of the kingdom of God is the positional sanctification you have received in Christ Jesus. For being sanctified in Christ, for being blood washed and sanctified in Christ Jesus, you are a member of the household of God. You are a member and a citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And nothing takes you out of that kingdom. The sanctification you have in Christ Jesus cannot be outlawed, cannot be discarded or overruled by a lack of a walk in sanctification. I'll say that again. The sanctification which we have in Christ Jesus positionally cannot be destroyed, overruled, or outlawed by a lack of a walk in sanctification. Glory be to God. A walk in sanctification does not add to our sanctification in Christ. It is only a product, an offshoot of that sanctification. That is, it's like giving you $1 billion. You know, there's having money and there's spending money. So I give you $1 billion, but it's in your bank account. You are not spending it. Now, you are not taking advantage of what I have given you, but you have it. Glory be to God. The day you start spending it, I don't rate your spending above the deposit. Glory be to God. So there's a deposit. There's the largesse of God in Christ Jesus. There's the deposit of the fullness of God in us at salvation. Hallelujah. The fullness of God, our sanctification which we have received in Christ Jesus by faith, is the ultimate one. Hallelujah. It is the ultimate. The salvation we have received, which is our sanctification in Christ, is the ultimate. So we can't be rating our walk in sanctification above the sanctification itself. Hallelujah. We can't be rating a walk in the Spirit above having the Spirit. Glory be to God. We can't be rating a walk in sanctification above the sanctification that we have received by the blood of Jesus. That would be like, you know, rating the spending above the deposit. Hallelujah. Whatever we are going to spend is from the deposit. Whatever work in sanctification we are going to exhibit is from the fullness of sanctification we have received by virtue of the offering of Christ once and for all. Hebrews 10:10. By one offering he has perfected forever them that have been sanctified. That's the fullness. Hallelujah. So you should never be found walking in these boastful claims, arrogant claims, thinking that now that you are walking in sanctification, you are more of a Christian. No. What makes you complete in the sight of God is that which is already done, settled, fulfilled without your impute or your walk. Hallelujah. Your walk is taking advantage of what God already did. Your work is doing something with what God did. Your work is about working now because God already worked in your life. Hallelujah. God already worked in your life and God is at work in your life by His Spirit. Glory be to God. So our sanctification in Christ Jesus, which is a positional reality, is the ultimate sanctification that we need. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, relatives, colleagues, schoolmates, and let's come together to have a great time again in the Word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, spiritual songs and prayers, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.